We're doing the book of Shmuel. We had learned last time how David cut off the corner of Shaul's coat and showed him how he could have killed him but didn't. And then Shmuel had passed away, and we learned the story of Naval, who had hoped to be king, and then how Naval disgraced David, and how David was ready to kill him, and then his wife Abigail saved his life. And then David blesses Abigail, and she goes back home, and then Naval dies. And David sent messengers to Abigail asking her if she wants to marry him. And she bows to the messengers, and she says, "I am hereby a maid to wash the feet of my master's servants." And she came to David with her maids, and she marries David. So David takes on her as a wife, and also Achinoam from the city of Yisrael, and his original wife, the daughter of King Saul, Michal, was given over to Palti ben Laish. Remember when David married her, so he gave those 100 foreskins and 200 foreskins, and he had that whole debt that Shaul owed him. And we discussed the halachic discussion, Amkadesh bepruta uvemilve, if you engage a woman with a small monetary value and a loan that she or her father owes the person that's of a huge sum, which one do you really mean is engaging her? David held, "I'm engaging her with the 200 foreskins. They're good for dog food." And Saul held, "No, you're engaging her with $1 million I owe you that you're forgoing when you engage her." And halachically, one who engages a woman with a milveh, with a debt that's owed, is not really engaged to her. So Shaul held that David halachically was not engaged to his daughter Michal, and so he gave her over to Palti ben Laish. And we are told that Palti ben Laish was a tremendous tzaddik, as we will see later on. For years, Palti ben Laish lives with this girl. She's a young girl. I mean, she must have been a minor when she married David, because her father was marrying her off, so she was under 12. So at this point, how old was she? 11, 12, 13? Big tzaddikas. She wore tefillin every day. Michal, the daughter of Shaul. But the rabbis didn't approve. But she, on her level, she wore tefillin. Maybe the rabbis didn't tell her anything. She was a princess. She was a big tzaddikas. Palti ben Laish put a sword in between the two beds. And he said, "Anyone that thinks of doing something wrong is going to get hit with this." And with that, he ended. "Nothing is ever going to happen between me and you." And although he brought her up like she was his own daughter, he never touched her. And Palti ben Laish is described as a tremendous tzaddik. Look, Yosef stood up to temptation for a minute. Boaz stood up to temptation for a night. And Palti ben Laish for months. Until finally we're going to see David was reunited with his wife. It was really years. So the people of the area of Ziph came to Shaul. There was a desert called the desert of Ziph, and they told him where David was hiding, and Shaul went out with 3,000 chosen soldiers to capture David in the desert of Ziph. Why is he chasing David again after David showed him he could have killed him but didn't, and he promised he wouldn't do it again? So the simple interpretation is he wasn't in full capacity of his wits, like the Navi keeps telling us. The deeper understanding we have on tradition that when Shaul came back, his chief general was a little bit embarrassed. He had messed up. How come he let his master, the king, go into a cave where the enemy was lurking and Shaul could have been killed? So what does Avner say? Avner says, "You really think he was in that cave with you? If he would have touched you, we would have made mincemeat out of him. He wasn't there. Your coat probably got caught on a thorn, and he picked up the corner off of that. You really think if he could have had you, he wouldn't have killed you?" So he convinced Shaul to go back on Shaul's promise. He convinced him David was lying. He tricked you. So Shaul camps in Givat HaChachila, where he thinks David is hiding, and David was out in the desert, and when he sees Shaul has come after him, so David sends spies to see what's happening with Shaul, and this time David's not running, but quite the contrary. That night, he advances towards Shaul. And from a distance, he sees where Shaul set camp and went to sleep. And God makes the whole camp fall into a deep slumber. And David offers Achimelech the Hittite and Avishai, his nephew, the daughter of the son of his sister, Tzruya. He asks him, who wants to come down with me to the camp? That's a big danger. 3,000 soldiers, they're all out there to kill David. And Avishai, who is going to be one of David's chief generals, he and his brother Yoav, Avishai says, I'll go down with you. And David and Avishai come down. It's the pitch dark night. Shaul is sleeping and everyone's camped all around him. And he has taken his spear and stuck it in the ground next to his head. And Avner and everyone is sleeping all around. And Avishai tells David, look, God gave you your enemy in your hands. I'll kill him once with my spear and it'll all be over. I won't have to hit him twice. And David says, don't you dare. Whoever hit the one anointed by God and came away clean. And David says, I swear by Hashem. And our sages say he was swearing to himself. He also felt like killing Shaul. Here he's been on the run for doing nothing, and Shaul wants him dead. So, one understanding among our sages is that David swore to his own desire, as we saw in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot last week, that a vow is something that can contain one's desire, when one values the vow, the way the older generations did. To us, we don't have enough respect for a vow as it is. But for them, they would never transgress a vow. So one understanding is he was swearing to keep his own desire in check. The other understanding is he was telling his nephew, I swear, you kill him, I'll kill you. I will avenge his blood from you. And so he says, God forbid that we touch the one anointed by God. Let you just take the spear and that flask of water and we'll go. Now it is far less of a risk for Avishai to go down there than David. Because they don't want Avishai as badly as they want David. They might not kill him. They might just take him as a captive. If they find David, he's dead. But David realizes that Avishai might not be able to contain himself when he's down there. So David himself goes and takes the spear. He risks his own life to ensure that nothing happens to Shaul. He himself takes the spear and the flask of water from right near Shaul's head. And they leave. And no one sees them. No one woke up. And the Navi tells us that it was God that made them fall into this deep slumber. It was unnatural. And David passes over a valley and he stands on top of a mountain and when there's a large distance between them, he calls out and says, why don't you answer, Avner? I don't hear you. What was he saying? Our sages say there was a longer speech that was left out. What he was saying is, Avner, I know you had all kinds of theories last time. What are you going to say now? Avner wakes up and he says, who's calling to the king's camp? David says, Avner, you're a formidable man. Who like you in Israel? How come you didn't watch your master, the king? You know, someone was about to kill him. And it's not good what you're doing. I swear by Hashem, you all deserve the death penalty. You didn't watch your master, the one anointed by God, the way you should. Now do me a favor. Look, Avner, where do you see? Where's the king's spear? Where's the flask of water that was near his head? And Shaul awakens and he hears him. And he says, is that your voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my master the king. Why, my master, are you chasing after your servant? What have I done? What have you found evil in my hands? Now listen, please, my master the king, what your servant is saying. If Hashem is the one that aroused you against me, may this be an offering before him. And our sages say that when David made this sentence, it was an error. God took him to task. God said, what do you mean? I arouse people against other people? What are you blaming me for? And David was later punished for this line. David says, if God aroused you against me, may he take this as an offering before him. And if other people have aroused you against me, well, they are cursed before Hashem. Because in chasing me, they have caused me to leave the service of the land of Hashem, and they're telling me, go serve other gods. Whoever told David to serve other gods? So we have on tradition that what David was alluding to is that when a person leaves the land of Israel for chutzlaretz, that is like serving other gods. This is where the Talmud gets that famous line from this sentence of David. He says, you know, I'm going to have to run to chutzlaretz, and that's what David's about to do. We're going to learn that right after this story, David goes out to Philistine territory. And that's a discussion in and of itself. How come that Philistine territory is called Chutzlaretz? It was in the land of Israel. But okay, for now we'll take it at face value. So David says, People are arousing you against me, and they're cursed to Hashem. And he's referring, in a sense, to Avner. What are you going to say now? And now, my blood shouldn't be spilt before Hashem, because the king of Israel went out to chase after a fly, like a bird looks out over the mountains. And Shaul, when he hears this, he says, I've sinned, return my son David. I won't harm you anymore. Look, in exchange for the fact that my soul was so precious in your eyes today, I've been foolish, I've erred a lot. And David calls out and says, here's the spear, my king. And let one of the lads come over and take it. And may Hashem pay back to a person his righteousness and his faithfulness. For Hashem gave you in my hands today, and I didn't want to harm the one anointed by Hashem. And just as your soul was precious in my eyes today, so too my soul should be precious in Hashem's eyes. He's not asking for Saul. He's not asking him any favors. And may Hashem save me from any danger. And Saul blesses David, and he says, you will be successful. And David goes his way, and Saul returns to his place. And David realizes that any day now, his luck might run out. Hashem's been helping him. And so David goes to Philistine territory, and he takes his 600 men to Achish, the king of Gat, and he joins forces with the Philistines. And now we are going to learn next week about how the Jews go to war with the Philistines, and David is caught in the middle. What's he supposed to do? And that's where we'll pick up next week, where David is technically on the Philistine side. King Saul gets no answer from God. God is not willing to tell him what to do. And Saul is faced with the last battle of his life. As we will see, this is the battle where King Saul will fall. This is where the Christians end Shmuel Aleph and begin the book of Shmuel Beis. We don't have such a tradition. We have one book of Shmuel. So one book, there's no Samuel A or B. But next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will learn about this final battle of King Saul and the great piety of King Saul in entering this battle. All Be'ezrat Hashem next week. Stay tuned.